Hello and welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast. The Centre for Cities is the first port of call for independent research and policy analysis focusing on UK city economies. For more information on this series or our broader research and events programme, please visit www.centreforcities.org. So we've just been listening to the Chancellor's 2013 budget, and now we're doing the Centre for Cities reaction to what was in the budget for cities. So I'm here with Andrew Carter, who's the Director of Research and Policy, and Ben Harrison, Director of Partnerships at the Centre for Cities. And really, we want to reflect on what was in it, will it work for cities, and will it help deliver some of the economic growth we so desperately need? When we think about whether a policy is good for cities, we tend to think about the five drivers of growth. So does it help businesses in cities? Does it help people in cities? Does it help place? So will it help with the housing, the infrastructure, the connectivity? Will it help with the leadership? And will it help with the finance? And so those are the five things that, once we've had our discussion, I'll be coming back to think whether the budget does enough to help cities in all five of those things. But we just listened to the budget an hour or so ago. We've been thinking about some of the key things. One of the biggest things in it was housing and a boost for housing. Andrew, your reflections on what the measures will mean and what it will mean for cities.
Well, I think we were calling beforehand, we called for it in the Cities Outlook 2013. If we want growth and we want it now, then housing is a sure bet for getting us the growth that we need. And I think whilst some of the policies around supporting people to get onto the housing ladder and to buy homes and deal with their deposit issues, I think is a good thing. If you think about London, the average wage is 30,000. You actually need 80,000 in order to buy the average house. So helping people get onto the ladder is important. But we'd have wanted to see a stronger focus on boosting the supply of housing. So we had some announcements around the affordable housing programme and others, but actually we'd have wanted much more focus on supply. We'd have wanted to see council as being given more freedoms, the borrowing cap to be removed in order for them to actually get into directly providing housing, and more stimulants to housing associations to expand their operations and indeed provide both housing for sale and indeed housing for private rent.
Absolutely. And I think there's a big question that we raised in Cities Outlook as well about place in terms of housing policy. And one of the points we made was that actually, while the UK as a whole needs more houses, not everywhere does. And I think that's something that, again, wasn't really reflected in what we saw today.
No, it wasn't. And I think, you know, ideally we would have wanted a set of policies that actually encouraged the refurbishment and the retrofitting of the millions of homes that already are in ownership or in rental. You know, people are living in their places, actually encouraging them to spend a bit more to make it, you know, to make the house a bit better or to extend it. Actually treating that in terms of how we treat that in terms of VAT, I think, is quite important. But all of that was missing. So, you know, there was some issues around new build, but actually the retrofitting and refurbishment of schemes, particularly for places like Burnley and others, that are, it's much more important, it's much more of an agenda for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And infrastructure was another big theme. The government's been talking about infrastructure as critical to economic growth for a long time, actually. Announcements dating back to 2010. I mean, Ben, your thoughts on what was in the budget today and whether it's enough for cities?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was certainly a lot in the budget statement itself about the importance of infrastructure investments and the intentions of the government to do more on infrastructure. But I think what was really critical is that not much of that's going to happen before 2015. And so, the extra money, £3 billion a year, every year for 5 years from to support extra infrastructure investment won't be seen until 2015. And that really leaves us in a position where if growth now is the priority, then those announcements aren't going to do much to help. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, as you say, the Chancellor's made similar statements before about boosting the amount of money there is for our infrastructure priorities since 2010. Even in the last autumn statement just a few months ago, there was an extra £5 billion promised for key infrastructure investments. But the day after, the OBR predicted that we'd see a £3 billion underspend on that immediately. So, I mean, that really raises questions as to, you know, what's going on? Why can't we get the money into the infrastructure projects if they're there? I mean, shovel ready is a term that's bandied around by government. You know, is there a problem with a pipeline of projects, actually, that doesn't necessarily exist for government to be putting this money in? I think more likely is that when the taps were turned off in 2010 across a number of funding schemes for infrastructure investments, it actually just takes a bit of time to get that activity moving again. We've seen capacity cut at a local level within councils and within the private sector organisations that may have been working on those schemes. equally, the viability assessments that underpin those schemes may well have changed in the intervening period. So, you know, I think positive announcement that we're going to see more investment coming forward, but not a lot of good news in the short term.
And what's that going to mean for cities? So clearly different situations across the country, some cities with more potential to grow more quickly. So the fact that it's taking a while to get these infrastructure projects online because of the cutting in order to reduce the deficit, what's it going to mean for places?
Well, I mean, I think that's a very good question. Clearly, we would argue that it's more of a priority to be investing in infrastructure in certain places over others, those that have got the biggest capacity to grow in the years ahead. And I mean, certainly with the agenda coming forward from Lord Heseltine's review into local growth, and we're hopefully going to see more control being handed to areas to actually direct some of that investment themselves. But again, we won't see the fruits of that until 2015. And so we've got this gap of the next 2 years as to really, you know, where we need to be asking, well, what is going to be driving growth over that period? You know, we had a further drawing down of the growth projections for this year from the OBR, but quite a big step up for 2014. I'm not sure what's really going to deliver that.
I would just add very briefly on that. I think you talk to go to places like Leeds or Milton Keynes or Cambridge, actually talk to them about their infrastructure requirements. I think they're pretty clear on that. I think that some of the shortfalls, some of the problems are actually where the appraisal process, the allocation process just delays it. And so it takes twice as long than it probably does. So having the money in place or the statement in place is good, but actually it's who controls that and actually who can sign that off. And I think we would argue, and rightly so, that actually places should be in more control of what they spend and how they spend it. And that way, I think we'll see more infrastructure coming, you know, coming online.
Absolutely. And we've said that about Heseltine. I think we're broadly welcoming of Heseltine and the response to Heseltine, but devil always in the detail. And we need to wait and see how much money is going to be in that single local growth fund, which was confirmed again in the budget today. And that's great news. It's good that there seems to be this shift in the culture in Whitehall about, yes, local areas should decide, as you were saying, Ben, on infrastructure. For some places where actually the economy has been struggling, there will be some infrastructure projects that matter, but they may want to put more money in skills because that's the big issue they face. Or they may want to put more money into replacing existing housing. Or there's a whole range of things. And actually local areas, much better place to take those decisions. And as you're saying, Andrew, I think that's one of the key things. And again, we need to wait till 2015. Now we've got city deals. They were mentioned very briefly in the budget in relation to Heseltine, but not more broadly. I think we would certainly want to see action now using city deals and things like the core package to make sure that we're not waiting another 2-3 years before some of these things can happen, because that'll get growth going.
And I think the work that we're doing this year, looking at not only where cities get their money from, but actually the conditions and the flexibilities attached to that money is quite an important point. So it's not only the policy initiative or the policy announcement, the 3 billion or the 5 billion or the 10 billion, it's actually the degree to which there is real control and influence over how you spend that, where you spend it, and actually when you spend it.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we think cities should be certainly thinking about spending their money on, although some of it should stay national, is skills. The Chancellor said at the very beginning of his speech, it's one of his number one priorities, skills, apprenticeships, most important long-term policy. I thought it was interesting that there really wasn't very much in the budget beyond that on skills. And I think, again, I suppose it's just echoing the points we've just made, that actually it'd be useful to see that devolve down a bit. Because when you look at what was there for people as individuals, not that much on skills. Good to see stuff on childcare. That will be good for cities. Big barrier to getting people into growth. But again, just not much place flexibility. We know that schools are less good in certain places around the country. We know that childcare is more expensive in certain places around the country. And it would have been good, I think, to see a bit more of that place sensitivity, even if it was just buried deep in the budget document. That will help cities to grow.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I mean, the extent to which there was a people focus in the budget, it was around things like the beer levy and populist measures like that, that are there really deliberately for voters. And there wasn't a lot in terms of preparing people to engage and seize economic opportunities across the country.
Although, to be fair, it will be, you know, more money in people's pockets hopefully they'll spend it.
That is
true.
And
that's a good thing, and that would be good for cities around the country because demand's something we need.
And I think the worry is that, you know, the performance of the labour market, which is actually strong given where we are with GDP numbers, actually the focus then on labour market and skills issues might not be the priority that it ought to, you know, to be. And I think the other point would be, my worry is that apprenticeships is the answer. In a sense, when you talk to various government officials and indeed government departments in response to the skills and labour market, they actually say, well, apprenticeships. And I think it's much more than that. But nevertheless, I think the combination of apprenticeships and a strong labour market, currently at least, means that skills isn't getting the priority that it definitely deserves. All our evidence suggests that.
Absolutely, going back to 1901 and our Cities Outlook 1901 report. I mean, on jobs, interesting to see that there's a national insurance break, so employers, all employers, will get a break from 2014, £2,000 less per employee on national insurance. I mean, it's a blanket measure. Clearly, advantages and disadvantages, we were talking about this, it means that you have lower administrative costs, some dead weight. I think the big question that we were discussing is, well, what will that mean in terms of jobs? Will it actually encourage people to create more jobs?
I mean, I think that's a really interesting question in terms of just what the impact will be on firms taking decisions about hiring new staff. Is it going to be enough of a help to make it economically viable to take on new additions? Over what kind of time period is that tax break going to be available for? Is it going to be something that businesses can be permanently factoring into their finances or not? I think it'll be interesting to find out. Time will tell in terms of what the impact of that will actually be.
But a cliff edge point as well about great to get people just taking people on, actually. And it'd be interesting to see how that plays out across the country.
Particularly if we can see how then, you know, people that are not in the labour market or younger people, youth unemployment, you know, whether we begin to address some of those issues through this kind of stimulus. I think then you get into some interesting areas, I think.
Particularly seeing today youth unemployment up again.
Indeed.
And I think some real concerns about that into the future. Businesses, just thinking about businesses, we've had the national insurance. There were various measures for business, so growth vouchers, the things about seed enterprise investment, a few measures. I think broadly we felt they were a good thing. It's the kind of thing you should be seeing in the budget. Not really a place element to that, but I think that's okay, actually, because you just need that to be available to all firms, all sectors. So good to see those things, and we'd want to see more, and we'd always want to see more invested in them, but I think broadly we felt that was a good thing for cities.
Yeah, I think they were a good set of initiatives trying to deal with some of the fundamentals that the business community faces. You know, how we expand our exports beyond the Eurozone countries. 40% of exports going into those countries. Actually, we need to be expanding beyond that. Whilst we've had increases in exports into the BRICS countries, that's starting from a very low base. So I think some of those issues are how we can encourage more people to innovate, how we can encourage more businesses to export, I think, are all the things that we would want to see in any budget. I mean, that they're good policies, they're good business initiatives that we want, whether we were in the current position or we were in a much stronger economy.
And I think the work that we did last year about just showing that the levels of links to BRICS as being very low, and particularly low in certain places around the country, and a real reliance on Europe, is particularly striking given the current situation. I think that suggests that, again, it's welcome that in the budget they're talking about a kind of more of a place element to UKTI's activities. Again, I think that's a good thing. That was promised in City Deals, the core package. That's the kind of thing we want to see. So I suppose that a couple of the final areas, finance, money. Budget's all about money. But when we're thinking about money for cities, there's bits in the Heseltine Single Local Growth Fund. There's a few bits and pieces, but actually not that much in terms of actually helping them now, rather than in 2015, do some of the things they need to. And I suppose, again, devil in the detail there, but that's something I think we'd like to see much more. One of the things we're publishing is something on urban development funds. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the things we would like to see more on.
Yeah, I think we would want, where applicable, to be using public money in a more commercial manner in order to unlock some of the stalled, particularly stalled city centre type developments that were a casualty of the recession in 2008. And actually, urban development funds, much used in Europe, we have 7 or 8 in this country now, but actually they've had relatively limited effects to date. Actually expanding those and actually providing a national urban development fund, I think, would allow us to do much more activity and actually use public sector money more effectively to promote urban development in our cities up and down the country.
No, I mean, I would absolutely agree with that. And I think, you know, it speaks to a lot of the points we were making earlier around the infrastructure investment as well, and trying to unlock some of that ahead of 2015, and actually not waiting until some of the additional sums that were announced today actually come into play.
And I think that's our broad verdict, isn't it, on the budget? There's certainly things in it for business. There's certainly things in it on infrastructure, housing, some things on finance. So in the areas we'd want to see action, there are some things, probably not enough on people, although some measures to help with childcare and fuel and other things. But generally, it does feel a bit more like a budget for growth tomorrow than a budget for growth today. And we do need growth now. And we need real help in the cities that actually, if you give them a bit of support, particularly on infrastructure, on building houses rather than just helping people buy, they could really grow fast and reap dividends for the UK as a whole. And the places that are struggling much more, actually there's things you can do to create jobs there, on housing where it's a refurbishment and retrofit rather than necessarily additional new houses. There's some things on infrastructure, and there's things on skills that you have to just do now if we're going to reap medium to long-term benefits. So I think a budget that has some wins in it, but generally we feel more could be done. We need growth now, not 2015. And we'll be arguing, certainly as it runs up to the spending review, for more to be done. But I think things like city deals, from a city's perspective, are one of the things that offer most hope for just trying to get some things moving in the short term.
Yeah.
Thank you.